Thanks for tuning in to Good Vibrations with Kristen, where humanness meets spirituality. Are you ready to be inspired? Do you want to have a greater connection to the earth, each other, and ultimately yourself? Join in the conversation with Kristen Ace and her fascinating guests to share the light, laughter, and the illumination of good vibrations.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Good Vibrations with Kristen. Today, we have an amazing guest. Her name is Uma Valerie Carruthers. She is a writer, yoga teacher, Reiki master, and teacher, and she has a new book coming out called The Roscoe Effect. It's Eternal Animal Truths to Transform Your Spirit. Very exciting stuff, and you guys all know how much I love animals and how they communicate with us. So, Uma, are you there?
I certainly am. Hi, Kristen. Hi, Meg.
Hi. So I'm so excited to have you here. I just want to ask you quickly, what is the Roscoe effect? And is Roscoe an animal?
Roscoe is an animal. He was. When my late husband and I first came to Florida in 1998, he showed up on our property as a small kitten. He was an amazing tabby cat.
Oh, a cat.
And he was a cat, and he was very much an alpha personality. He had a lot of bravado. He liked to show off, and he was a total heart stealer. And he was the cat of my life. He was just, 'cause I hadn't had an animal in my life in quite a long time. So he was just a real gift. He was an amazing cat. He spent a lot of his time outdoors. And he'd come back. Yeah. And he had a lot of turf out there. And, but being a fluffy haired kind of guy and a little on the stocky side, he would come back full of twigs and gnats and all kinds of things. And being a typical guy, cat, some of them love it. Some of them love being groomed. He did not. So at the time this particular situation happened, my husband and I had taken him into our bathroom to cut the mats out of his hair and give him a grooming. And after about like a couple of minutes of that, he was puffing and fuming and about to explode, and one of our new buddy cats that we'd gotten him, a brother and sister buddy cat, and they were very little at the time, so one of them strolled in, kind of curious as to what was going on. He's like, oh, hi, what's up? And Roscoe took one look at him, and the paw came down, boof, and I've had enough, get me out of here. And the little guy just didn't know what hit him, but they go flying out of the room. So I thought about that. I was like, you know, what is the meaning of this kind of behavior? What is that really saying? It was so
definitive. It was very definitive, don't you think?
It was highly definitive. It was so expressive, so this kind of acting out that came out of this immense frustration and this immense discomfort. And really what he was doing was taking what had just happened and it just projected right out. He had no other place to aim it until whoever sauntered into it, bam.
Right, and right. I think people do that. People do that, don't they?
Exactly. So this is what really started to come up for me, and I started contemplating how we carry around the kind of frustrations and old conversations and negativities that just weigh us down all the time. So someone can, we can go into a coffee shop, and if somebody doesn't give us the right didn't bring us, the potatoes on time or something like that, or just did something.
Or didn't smile at us, or didn't say thank you, or didn't take your money in a certain way, or any number of things that can make you go.
Exactly. Or I remember once, I was having breakfast in the diner, and I remember that the server, she was carrying a lot of stuff. And I could see it in her face and her body language. And then it turned out, you know, like she had a lot of crisis at home and had a rush to get the kids to school. And, you know, and I felt for her. And yet, you know, it was like at the same time what happens is look what happens when that carries over. So if she goes to work with carrying all that baggage, then that gets projected out onto the people she's serving and then they walk away. And then how do they digest that? How do they...
Right.
You know, how do they take that into their day? Because, you know, we digest, everything that goes on is something we're having to digest. It's not just the food.
No, that's right. And it's interesting because you one of the things that you sent me when we were communicating via email is what do your pets reveal to you about yourself? Mm-hmm. And I have been thinking about that. And I have a cat who is just... You know, I rescue strays. Those are the animals who come to my home, all the strays.
Awesome.
And frankly, it makes perfect sense to me if I take your theory about what animals reveal to you, because I was a stray. You know, it's that simple. I was a stray cat that was abused and kicked around until I met my husband who loved me. So I have just been taking care of strays since I was a little girl. And we had rescued this whole family, which is a whole long story that I won't get into on this podcast. But they've been with us now 7 years, and one of the kittens, who's now seven, still has not recovered. And so he is just flipped out of his mind all the time. He's scared of everything. And it's been hard because he pees in places, and he'll disappear and. If you even, like, say the wrong word, he runs away like you're going to hit him and nobody's ever hurt him. And we've been dealing with this in our home, and it's been very stressful. And, you know, I spend lots of time with him and love him in the morning and love him at night when it's quiet. But we do live in our home. We have two teenagers. We have five other cats besides him. Or six other cats. Yeah, five other. So I've been thinking about this around you, and somebody was really, really mean to me yesterday on the phone and telling me all the things about me that are wrong. I love when people just decide, I'm going to tell you everything about yourself that I don't like.
Oh, yeah.
All right? And these are all the things that are wrong with you. And one of the things that she said is, you're too sensitive. You're too sensitive. And then she went on to tell me why that was bad and then say some really, really insulting things to me about that. When I got off the phone, I looked at Moonlight and I went, oh no. I've been saying he's just too sensitive. And I thought, oh, he's my mirror. But you know what? What I came out of that with, which is, I'm thanking you for this, you don't know this yet, I said, okay, he feels everything deeply. And I thought to myself, okay, yes, I am, this person was 100% correct. I am very sensitive. And my feelings get hurt really easy. But along with that is I always show up in someone's life when they need a friend. I always bring flowers at the right time. I always bring candy at the right time. I mean, it's just one of those things that I'm really good at because
I'm very intuitive.
Because I'm so open to everything in the world, I am sensitive and my feelings do get hurt, but I also know when people need love, need support, need help. It's inevitable. I'll say to Jeff, my husband, you know, I went into the coffee shop today and I ran into so-and-so, and by the time we were done, she was crying saying, oh my God, you saved my life today. And Jeff was like, that's right. So instead of looking at my cat as something's wrong with him, I say, okay, he's picking up a lot of energy. How can I help him? How can I help him find a way to take all that stuff in? Because I can't change who he is and deal with it with more ease. What herbs can I give him? What, you know, essential oils or flower essences, energy, all that stuff. And I came to all of that after my email interactions with you.
Wow, thank you. That's great. I'm glad it pointed you in that direction. And that's the thing that animals do. You know, they show us things about ourselves. They're known to mirror things. Your cat is bringing something forward that's making you examine a lot of things. Mm. And I think that's a really powerful, because here's the interesting thing is, each animal that...
Your kitty is talking to us now.
That's right. You know, that each animal, I feel very strongly, who comes to us has adopted us for a reason.
I agree.
Whether we buy them from a breeder, but why is it that the very one that we chose has, you know, what is it other than that they had a cute expression on their face and they acted a certain way or they wiggled around? But there's other things that are going on very subtle levels, and those often don't come out until after they're living with them and other things come up.
I just want you to know that Megan is rolling her eyes right now because she adopted an incredible dog, Gracie. And Gracie she's an incredible dog, but she's incredibly intuitive. And sometimes, because of all this stuff that comes to her, she gets a little freaked out. And Megan Megan knows, but Megan is also incredibly intuitive and picks up all of this information through the airwaves that can sometimes be a little overwhelming. It's just very interesting.
Absolutely can be overwhelming. So, you know, so sometimes it can be as simple as holding the animal, getting it to look at your eyes, getting it to focus, and even projecting a mental image of what you... Sometimes it's as simple as just being with the animal, looking, you know, so that the animal is looking into your eyes once it slows down enough to gaze at you. Sometimes I'll just pick my cat up, whichever one is I want to connect with on something, and wait till they focus and project an image of what it is that I would like them in their behavior to do or not do.
Well, also you could project to them, and this is you're giving me an idea, but you can project to them what they could feel like in the future. Like instead of, just like when we visualize how things feel when they are, you know, perfect in our lives and everything is running smoothly, Abraham Hicks, you know, you can do that for the animal. So I could pick up Moonlight and project for him feeling safe and loved and being comfortable with all the people who come in and out of our house and just being relaxed in that moment. And if I keep projecting that image onto him or for him, letting him know this is actually being held in the ethers for you, he can start to pick up that energy and bring it into himself more readily.
Oh, very definitely, Kristen. This is absolutely, absolutely the case. They do sense that. They do sense that. And I'm always amazed with my female cat. How quickly, I think of the two, she has a little more edge on quickly picking things up mentally.
Oh, okay.
And psychically, it's just her nature. She just has that. And if I project a certain thing to her, and it's happened where I'll project it, and the sooner that I project it, she's on it. She just gets it. And her behavior has changed. It's this really remarkable thing. Now, there, of course, as you may know, and you probably know, there are people who are trained or gifted as direct animal communicators, and that's what they do.
Yeah, I have a very, very dear friend who does that, and she's amazing.
I know someone a long time also who's opened up a whole profession, and that for herself has been wonderful. So, and it's amazing. And then, of course, they'll tell you all kinds of things about, you know, not how your housekeeping is, and if you want to finding this out from their cat or the dog or whoever.
Well, right. So that's right.
You you know, and that's how it works.
They're kind of like that person on the phone with me who told me everything that was wrong with me. They're kind of like, oh, by the way, since you're asking.
Yeah, but, you know, again, it comes back to, like, that person. It comes back to the things that they're seeing about themselves, because otherwise, why would they pick on those things that seeming to be, you know, really, we're all just being as we are, who we are. It's not that, you know, I may do something that or say something that I could have been more appropriate, could have been better, could have been calmer, could have been whatever. But I, you know, on the other hand, then we go on judging ourselves all the time. So if somebody points something out, all you can do is just sort of sit back and go, well, this is for, you know, the way I sometimes must approach things like that is sit back and go, is there truth in it? Is there any kernel of truth in it? And then otherwise it's like, well, then they're projecting that on. There's projections again, and it comes back to that.
Right. But it is, to me, interesting how all those words came up when I was at a time when I'm dealing intensely with this really animal that is challenging our home. And it's, you know, I mean, I love that and know that animals do come to share messages with us. And they do have many things to say, and even though we can't sit down and go, hey, how you doing, buddy? And, oh, wow, meow, meow, I'm good. How are you? Let's go have some coffee. They have many things to say. I did a deep meditation last night, which I do every night, but last night in particular around this issue, and pulled a tarot card, and the tarot card was peace, P-E-A-C-E, and there were all these mourning doves on it, and the card spoke significantly about how the mourning dove is really a gentle, loving coo. It's not about sadness. And I got up this morning, and there were like, I don't know, 17, 18 mourning doves in my yard. Just all hanging out going, it's okay, Kristen. We love you. Singing their little coos and just kind of hanging. And I thought, well, that's really nice that they came to just lift my spirit. And that's not a coincidence. That's just not a coincidence. So they came, you know, to say we're energetically connected to you and we're going to come and lift a little bit for you.
That's beautiful. That's so true.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true. So, yeah, so in communicating with the cat, you know, so then their energy is there to support that.
Right.
We can draw upon the energy of, and again, this can even go into the area of power animals or spirit guide animals, are going to be there to support us through our interactions with other creatures, other animals that we need to talk to. So they're there for us. As they say, power animals are with us whether we see them or not, whether we know it or not.
Oh, yes, and I agree with that.
If we're open to that understanding, and it's equally said that if we dismiss them or ignore them too much, then they leave, and maybe we get another one later on. So we can be with that, but sometimes it may even take the energy from one type of animal to help with understanding and one that's right with us. So you had the support of the doves, and what's wonderful is they kind of sent you their calling card the day before with the tarot. So we're coming.
We're coming.
I could say, hi, this is us. We're coming. And then they showed up, which is a double blessing. And so that energy that they send is there in dealing with the cat.
Right.
So why not?
Right.
So why not? Why not realize that these energies are interacting all the time?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's interesting what you said about power animals disappearing if we ignore them. But I want to redefine that. Because I think a lot of people may not even know about power animals. But if we ask our audience to start paying attention to what animals are around you all the time, you know, obviously stray cats are around me all the time. They come to my house. They find me. It's just the way it is. If there's one in the neighborhood, it's coming to my house. But there are other animals that are always around me. And once I started paying attention to that and then reading about their messages, and it all made so much sense to me. So, you know, or a girlfriend of mine who is terrified of snakes. And I'm like, "You're terrified of snakes?" And she's absolutely terrified. She has bad dreams about them. And I said, snake magic is very powerful. It's about transmuting poison. And so what in yourself are you afraid of getting rid of? You know, what have you not worked through that you're holding on to that's poisoning you? And she's been doing massive internal emotional work in the past year and into this year, and she's not as afraid of snakes anymore now that she can see what that means in her life and how that message is coming through to her. Do you know what I mean? So,
oh, totally. I think that's wonderful. Excuse me. I think that's really, that is a huge step forward to have that feeling. I think that's really great. Down here in Florida, if you're not in the city, well, even there, who knows? But snakes are around. In my complex alone, one evening at dusk, I saw this beautiful banded snake, and not very large, and found out that was probably a coral snake, poisonous. It just kind of went off, on its own.
Yeah.
You know, they stay away. You know, we have everything from basic little black racers that are totally harmless and just want a nice place to rest. And I had the molting skins of about 5 baby pygmy rattlers outside my door at one point. Yeah,
wow.
They just had come through and decided to shift their skins.
And 5 of them?
I counted about 5 of these little babies.
So, you know, 5 is the Christ number.
Ah.
So that's very, it's very interesting to me that, so you were almost being given a divine message of, and it's also a number of change, deep, rapid change. So that's kind of interesting to me. I'd love for you to go back after we finish our conversation and find out what was happening in your life at that time.
Always a lot of change going. But I feel anytime I see anything, I feel it's definitely a gift.
Yes.
I feel it's really wonderful, very auspicious sign. I have no question about that. So that's the thing. Of course, if I saw one lying around and I had to go past it, I would kind of I'd walk around the long way.
Yeah, you want to take that as a visual gift and not a, striking gift.
There you go.
We do have to be mindful of our animal friends as well.
Absolutely.
Of course, and the work that you do and what you will be bringing forth with your book also raises the consciousness to be mindful of our animal friends and our animal brothers and sisters, because they are on the planet with us, not for us, not around us, but with us.
Mm-hmm. That's right, all the time. That's exactly right. It's understanding that they're with us, and one of the things that they're showing us, interestingly enough, in Hindu philosophy, it's said that a human life is very rare. It's a very rare thing. So it's an opportunity. Well, if you think about it, because if you think of, even though people who, if you follow incarnation, you say, well, I've incarnated 847,000 times. Why would my life, why would it be rare? But if you think about it, most animals, when they breed, are going to breed far more than we do. So we need to examine that if we're in a position of being rare, then we have to have a lot of respect for what's not rare. We have to have a lot of respect for all the species that we're all part of this whole. It's not so that we need to understand the value of why we've been given the human life, which may seem to have even more struggles than some animals' lives, if we think of a very pampered animal that has it pretty good. But at the same time, it's recognizing how we can make our own life better by interacting with other species and listening to other species and what they're really here to tell us. And I think that more and more people are starting to understand this when they look at the actions of, I heard about a cat that a woman had started taking care of as a feral cat, but they eventually brought it to a shelter. And the cat got out of the shelter, and after about a month, it found its way back to her house. So it had decided.
I think that cat has something to say to her.
So, yeah. So, oh, she was so happy. So,
that's good.
So, if you think of that, her rare life was meant to help this cat. So, it really makes you hone in on.
Yeah, and vice versa, I have to say. I think that cat had something to say to her and needs to teach her and show her some things. And I know we have to wrap up and say goodbye, but I do want to say that I think all life is rare. I think animals have it a lot more challenging than we give credit where that is due, mm-hmm. particularly on the earth today, with the challenges into their environment. And in that regard, I think all life is rare and all life is sacred. That's just my
sacred
own feeling.
Sacred is the word, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sacred is it, yeah.
So, Valerie, we have to say goodbye. Uma, Valerie, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
And I'm so grateful to have had your wisdom on our show today, and we're going to have links to all the things that you are available for our audience. And do you want to say one little thing before we sign off?
Well, I want to thank you so much. It's been fantastic chatting with you today, Kristen. And I really enjoyed this very much. And I think that's exactly, you know, you put it so perfectly when talking about the sacredness. And that is the rare thing, is honoring that sacredness.
Mm-hmm.
And so that when whatever animal comes into your life in a big way, in a small way, is to pay attention. And I think that's the number one thing, and see what's there for you in the relationship.
All right, Uma, thank you so much. And just really grateful to have you here today. Thank you. All right, bye-bye. All right, everybody, you know you've got some exciting information. Go on out there and pay attention to your animal friends, and they are your friends, and we are together here on this planet. I love you. Bye. We hope that you found this episode of GDK inspiring. And to raise your vibration even higher, visit my website at goodvibrationswithkristen.com.
And don't forget to like Good Vibrations with Kristen on Facebook.
What inspires you?
Write us, let us know, so we can share your ideas on the show.
And meanwhile, keep listening, keep connecting, and know that you are divinely guided.